Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that is just a beautiful way of bringing together God's truth and modern medicine to bless children. We're going to start talking about in vitro fertilization. And what led me to this topic? A couple of things. One is over the course of my pastoral ministry, I've known quite a few couples that have gone through IVF in an effort to have a baby, a child to love that was in their heart's desire. And God has given us these medical advances to be able to do this for certain couples. So I've had couples go through IVF. And so it's always been a beautiful process, a heart-wrenching process sometimes. But what brought it to mind specifically now is a recent court ruling in Alabama that you may or may not have heard of. We're not going to get into the court ruling too much today, but the court ruling basically said that frozen embryos, so when you have in vitro fertilization, a couple will create, you know, 8, 9, 12, whatever embryos. And the Alabama Supreme Court said that in Alabama, at least, those frozen embryos are considered children under the state law. And that had all kinds of ramifications. Now, of course, we as Christians believe that God creates life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. And so these babies have been conceived. Now, how all that plays out legally, it just gets really, really hairy. And I don't really want to get into that all that much today. But because I got something maybe, not more important, but I got something maybe more interesting today to share with you. And that is a couple that I know named Amber and Brady Barron. They both at one point were a part of our church here at Christ Lincoln in Lincoln, Nebraska. And so I know them well. And they have gone through something that is connected with IVF. And so I want to bring them on the program here. So Brady and Amber, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear us?
We can hear you. Say hi to the people here.
Hello to the people.
Well, howdy, people. All right. Thanks for inviting us.
We got you kind of freezing up there in Wisconsin, which is kind of a freezing place to be. So every once in a while, just to let folks know, they are going to freeze here. This is just how it works when you're in Wisconsin. But all right. So now you guys did not go through IVF, but tell us your experience here. Tell us what happened in your life.
Well, after about 2 years of marriage, realized we were not having children the way we had hoped we would. And so we started to do some more exploring with our doctors to figure out what it was. I thought the issues might be more on my end due to medical things I knew I had, but we also discovered in the process that there were some medical issues with Brady and his ability, to reproduce. So we weren't sure if we would even be able to pursue IVF. And we were told, no, it will be very difficult to almost impossible to go that route. So then we were told about the option of embryo adoption, and how actually that was something that was being encouraged a little bit more, even through the LCMS in some circles, because this would be a way for families who wanted to have children, but maybe through one reason or another were not able to have their own children, they would still be able to experience pregnancy and childbirth and all of those things. So we heard about a company called Nightlight Christian Adoption out of California, and they have a whole program that's called Snowflake Babies or Snowflake Adoption. And that is where the couples who have gone through IVF maybe don't want their family is complete. They don't want their babies to just stay in frozen storage. They don't want them destroyed, meaning unthawed, and then thawed out, and then they just die. or used for science or things like that, but they would rather they go to bless another family.
That's having fertility problems.
That was also having fertility issues. So we heard about them, and we heard about another company out of Kentucky, but whether I found the wrong address or what, I never really heard back from them. But with Snowflake, with Nightlight, we were successful in, you know, speaking with people and connecting with people. And then
they engaged with us.
And we started the process that way with them.
So now you've adopted how many kids here?
We adopted 9 embryos.
9 embryos. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if all 9 were to actually be given a chance at life and live, you'd have 9 kids. You'd need a big van.
We would have.
And I already drove a van.
They did it based off of what we said we were hoping for in a family. Okay. We were hoping for 2 to 4 children. Okay. And so they then matched us with a family that would have had enough embryos for us to possibly do that.
All right.
You know, because some families maybe only want 1 child or 2 children total. So then, you know, they would, you know, match them with a family that had that many remaining.
Great. So, okay. So now are these babies called Snowflake babies everywhere or just with your company that you worked with in California?
I think more so with our company that we worked with, they call them Snowflake. They call them that because they're frozen and each one is unique, just like a snowflake. There is no snowflake that is the same anywhere. So that's why they call them Snowflake babies.
Just like we're all different.
Mm-hmm. Except you and I both have blue shirts on. We both got the color, you know, straight. So that's good. That's good. We won't get in.
Mine has stripes.
Okay. So let me stay on topic here. So, so you adopt the embryos and then what happens? You got pregnant?
Well, we had to go through some medical things. Like we had to make sure like everything was still good on my end.
Okay.
So once the embryos were shipped to our clinic, then I had to go through learning how to give myself shots and everything like that, because I had to make my body
ready
to be pregnant. Yeah. So I mean, I'm not completely familiar with everything women have to do for IVF, but I did have to give myself shots every day for 2 weeks leading up to when, you know, we were going to go for the procedure for the transfer. For transfer day, and I had to do estrogen pills as well. So I had to do progesterone and estrogen every day. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go for checks to make sure my lining was ready, you know, and the right thickness and all of those different things.
Just a lot of stuff.
It was a lot of different things, ultrasounds, all sorts of procedures. Mm-hmm. And then it was transfer day. And, you know, it's never a guarantee. Our first transfer was successful, but we did end up miscarrying our first baby Wednesday at about 10 weeks. We discovered Wednesday had passed, which is heart-wrenching. Any woman who has been through it and knows they were pregnant and they've seen the heartbeat, they've seen the baby on ultrasound, it is gut-wrenching, man. It is. You know, and I know there's women out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us in that. Yeah. It is. Yeah. You know, but then I had to go through additional procedures, and we discovered that there were things that we could do. So I had to have a minor surgery. It was like outpatient, but still I had to have that done. And then the next transfer we transferred to, and we ended up pregnant with our daughter, Eliana, who's our rainbow baby. And each time we went in, we were always going in with the mindset of whatever happens, we are trying to give these babies life outside of the 5 or 6 days that they had to grow before they were frozen. We never knew.
We just wanted to give them
chance, but we did it. 4 more times, and only one of those was even minorly successful.
Okay.
And that ended in a chemical. Yeah. So that means I was pregnant for probably about 2 weeks up until I had the blood test. And then we discovered the numbers were starting to drop already. So,
Well, that's just a lot to go through.
It was a lot to go through. Three times for sure. I was pregnant and I've only delivered one full term live baby, which is a chance that, that we took, you know, never knowing, was there more testing I could have done? Probably, but there's a cost to that. Like, there's only so much we can do. And I wanted to put my body through. I mean, each time was so.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So how old is Eliana now?
Four years old. Yep. Yeah, almost four and a half.
So almost ready for kindergarten.
Yeah.
Almost. No, take that almost away. She's ready.
No, she's not. No.
Sorry, no. Teacher.
I mean,
she'll be dating soon, Brady. Watch out. No, just kidding. She got a while to go. So, well, that's good. Yeah. They grow up fast. So tell me what advice you would have for couples as they go into, let's say they're considering IVF. What advice would you have for them as they consider that, to consider the babies that'll be created? Just what are your thoughts?
I want to say definitely pray about it. And we spoke with some trusted pastor friends and church people about it and asked what their opinion was. And then talk to your family and friends about it as well. That depends how public you want to be about what you know, are going through.
Sure.
And also just trust God and hope for the best.
And I would say probably you'd want to have a plan going into it. Let's say not in your situation, because you're adopting the frozen embryos, but going into it, if I'm going to create frozen embryos, let's say, have a plan going into it of how this will work out. What's our, of course, you know, man plans and God laughs, but nevertheless, have at least thought it through. What are your thoughts? Suppose the first three take and you only think you can handle three kids, then what do you, like, have a plan for the other nine or whatever, that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
Does that make sense, kind of, right?
Yeah, I would say you kind of need to know what it is you want to do. Do you want them to go all to one family? And there are ways to do it privately. Like, you can match with people online. I mean, there are groups on Facebook that are dedicated solely to this.
Okay.
You can also go through an agency like Nightlights, and their Snowflakes,
Christian,
you know, that is more Christian based, and they would, you know, be able to help facilitate all of that. I was going to say, if you go through your clinic and then, you know, say we want the rest of these to go, there's a pretty good chance though that it's going to be closed, meaning you will not really necessarily know where they are going to, although I'm not sure. But it's closed, meaning once you sign them away, then my understanding would be you have no say as to what kind, where they go, what kind of family or anything like that. And if they're split up, you know, we have a semi-open relationship with our donor couple. And so we are aware of their children. Their children know about Eliana. And she has seen pictures of them. We message on Facebook. But I think the two older children, they're in like third grade and first grade, I think, this year. I think they know more about the process than what we've even fully shared with Eliana. We do need to start being a little bit more open about how she came to be. I think it's harder for me, for whatever reason, versus Brady.
It's a delicate thing, you know, how do you share and what the kids will understand and how they'll process and how will they deal with it. And it's just, it's a delicate thing. So it's good you have support groups for that. Now, so there is still more, you adopted nine. There's still more embryos left, or am I miscounting? Or
we've used them all.
Used them all. Okay. So
all the eight others are with the Lord.
The Lord.
Our final transfer was a year ago, a little more than a year ago, right before this, like September of 2022. And that last transfer was our final, and it was not. successful.
Like we said, we're just happy that we gave him an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. You gave him an opportunity and then God takes care of the rest. Right. And it's hard to trust his wisdom sometimes.
We have eight babies.
Yep. It's hard to trust.
Yep. Eight babies waiting for us.
You'll get to see them all. My goodness. You'll need a van in heaven then. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
A van in the next life. Well, thanks for sharing.
God's got it.
Yeah. God's got it figured out. And sometimes that's hard to trust, but we just, I love the verse in the Bible, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yep. I've used that verse quite a few times during this whole.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm guessing that there may be some people who want to get a hold of you. So I'm going to say they can write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. And I'll be able to get that on to Brady and Amber so that they can interface with you if you'd like to find out more about their story or encourage them in some way, or you want to know, hey, how can I do this? You just write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. And we'll get that on to them. So and they'll be able to get in touch with you that way. Brady and Amber, thanks for sharing. Love that you were involved in this way, and really the incredible amount of sacrifice that you went through to give Eliana life. What a blessing you are to her. So thank you so much for doing that. So thanks for joining us on the podcast. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. And thanks for being a blessing to a lot of us.
All righty. All right. We'll see you guys later. So thanks for joining us on the podcast. Remember, as we close, as we always do, we want to remember the promise of God in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. And that's our prayer for you today. Thanks for listening.